Good evening, Little Saigon, Seattle, Washington. It's Saturday, September the 21st, 2019, and this is your good friend Dan. I don't know if this is going to be a long podcast. I think it'll be short. I really only have a couple things to talk about. One, and this first topic will be brief, and before we go too far, remember today is September the 21st, 2019. We passed through all the magic numbers. We got through 9119. We got through 91919. We got through all the weird nines. We got through the 91119. We got through all the weird numbers. We're almost out of September, which means, you know, October will probably be terrible. By then, we will be bombing Iran and blowing things up in Iran because that's freedom. That's for the freedom. That's what Trump will say, and Q will come out and tell us that, you know, where we go one, we go all, in a really, you know, kind of weird, cryptic kind of syntax. And yeah, it's really fucking great, people. It's fucking awesome. September is almost over, but today is September the 21st, 2019. It's Saturday evening, it's 10 p.m. You know people are out on the town tonight enjoying their fun. But yeah, the first topic is I had a guest. The guest came from the Midwest. That's all I can tell you. And his name is either Paul or John. Could be Bob. Those are the possibilities. But he was visiting. He'd come across my podcast. He'd come across my podcast last winter when I was in the winter of my discontent, when I was going through some strange things about my own perspective on life, not knowing where I was going for certain, not really having a lot of faith in myself, and more importantly, not a lot of faith in the world. And this particular listener was one of these folks that was not just helpful in terms of giving me some positive feedback, but also, you know, he became a friend. And it's good to make friends, even when you get old. Even when you get old and all your insides are melting, even when you get old and you know that you're more mercury and lead and asbestos and broken glass and sawdust and regret than anything else, even when you get old and you see yourself through the lens of a addled French bulldog of monstrous intention and copious disease, when you get old, it gets hard to make friends. You should really value the process of making a friend or two if it's possible. But it can also be dangerous, because I will tell you, I went down a kind of road that wasn't too different than this in 2016. And yeah, there's a podcast called The Goat King that refers to the events in Ireland in 2016. It was terrible. It was terrible. And that was not a friend. The Goat King was not a friend. One of the first things I thought when my friend was visiting and he showed up on Thursday with his SUV, and he got out of his vehicle, and, you know, he looked like he was in good shape, short haircut. One of the first things I thought was Hitman from the Goat King. So I had to ask him. I had to ask him if he was sent, and he was not. He had a good trip. I had a good time seeing him. If I get the money together, I can envision myself. I can imagineer myself as a possibility if I can get the cash together, visiting him where he lives. But truly, times are strange, and it's hard to say if I'll get a chance to visit him. But if I can, I will. Probably in the new year. The election year 2020, the year of the clown. The other thing about this first topic of my friend visiting is he had a general impression of Seattle and the traffic and the people. So let me give you the positive. I think he really did like the hike we went on near Duval, Washington. It was a Cherry Creek hike. We hiked about 6 miles. We saw the Cherry Creek Falls. I explained to him that we were probably hiking through what had been a high lead logging location 40 or 50 years ago. There was a lot of steel cable along the trails, which actually is kind of fucking dangerous, but I don't think people in Washington State have a fucking clue. about assessing danger. That's related to topic number two. But yeah, a lot of fucking rusty old cable here and there. And what was funny is there were these junky old cars that were just in the middle of the fucking woods. And my friend was wondering, how did they get here? And it took me about 2 minutes. So you guys know, my dad was a logger. I worked up in the woods setting chokers. If that sounds like a really shitty job, guess what? It's worse than what you can imagine. And it's dangerous as fuck. And loggers are crazy as fuck. And if you worked around loggers like I did in the 1980s, then you got some of the last doses of true male redneck testosterone crazy. Loggers are crazy. My dad once water skied through Deception Pass in the 1950s. Okay? If you don't know what Deception Pass is, look it up and ask yourself, would it be safe to water ski through it? Keeping in mind, in the 1950s, there wasn't really a 911 number you could call to the Coast Guard. And even if there was, once you went in the water in Deception Pass, the whirlpool will pull you down about 100 feet. So you're dead. Loggers, back in the day, and they probably still are, I don't know, maybe I should hang out with a few, visit Cedar Woolley, Washington one of these days, and maybe interview a logger. Loggers are crazy as fuck. And so these random cars we saw, I was 100% certain. I said, listen, dude, imagine you're in the 1970s or 60s, and you're working with a bunch of crazy ass loggers in Western Washington. These are not soy boys. These are not your little kittens at Microsoft. Hey, can you touch my testicles to make me feel better? These are the guys that if they saw the weird ass posters I saw at Microsoft, the ones telling me about the percentage of different minorities that are not programmers, these are the motherfuckers that if they saw a poster like that in the woods concerning cutters, and a cutter is the person that, runs the chainsaw, in some ways you can think of the cutter as kind of like the, I don't know. They're almost the cowboy rock star of the logging team, and they're usually really strange folks because being a cutter is both a true skill, properly knowing how to fell a tree using a chainsaw, and that is fell a tree. It's a great skill, and back in the day, and probably still true, it attracts even crazier people. So loggers in general are crazy as fuck, and cutters, man, cutters are super crazy. So I can imagine, if you put on your Imagineering hat, going back to a logging site along Cherry Creek in the 60s or 50s or 70s, a bunch of old drunk loggers, and they weren't probably old, a bunch of just drunk loggers back in the 60s, really fucking bored. And maybe even so drunk they get angry, and one of them hooks up a choker to somebody else's car, basically through the windows, hooks it up, sends it down the hill using the high lead. Guess what? The high lead is designed to carry a log. If you're wondering if it can carry your fucking car, your post World War II shitty ass car, it can. It could even carry the big heavy cars, but I should say the post 1970. If you're wondering if it can transport the post 1970, now we know oil might be expensive car, it can. It'll pick it up, it'll take it down the hill, it'll toss it down the mountainside, and then you and your logger friends can pull out your semi-automatic carbines. Notice I didn't say assault rifle because, by the way, I believe Remington had a semi-automatic rifle in like 1900 that you could buy from Sears. You stupid fucking gun control fucks. Oh yeah, and if you research, they had high capacity magazines that other people sold for them. Now, were they as nice as an AK-47 going off on this random tangent? No, maybe not. Maybe not as nice as an AR-15 either. But they existed, you stupid fucks. Anywho, I can imagine these loggers hooking up somebody's fucking car and sending it down the high lead and then taking out the. And this is, again, you have to imagine, it's a clear cut. So there is nothing down there. They've already taken out all the fucking trees. All the fucking logs are gone. All that's left is debris. And then in about, I don't know, 6 months, some assholes from the UW Forestry Department will come through and plant fucking trees. Great. The point is, I can imagine these dudes doing this crazy ass shit. And you could say, well, Dan, that's just the destruction of the environment and a good example of blah, toxic masculinity would be the label on that vehicle if the world operated according to social justice warriors? What I would put on the fucking car if I had a label, the picture of the car, the beat up car, the car that appears in the middle of nowhere with bullet holes in it, is I would say, awesome. And yeah, do I think it's great to litter? No. I think littering is bullshit. But we're not talking about today. We're talking about history. That shitty ass car we found in the woods was an artifact of a time when men were still to be considered men. And I might not be tough like they were, and I might not be capable of dealing with shit the way they did, but I can tell you something. I got a chance to work with some men when I was a teenager, and this was before I went into the fucking army, by the way, that truly were tough as fucking nails, doing a job that was dangerous as fuck. Do you want me to tell you that I almost got killed logging? Yeah, I did. More than once, every fucking summer I worked. Until the last day I worked for my dad, I got hit, knocked end over end. When I came to, my right calf was almost the size of a basketball, probably a football. I luckily didn't break anything, but that was, you know, literally the last fucking day. I believe it was August, I want to say August the 10th, 1990, right around the time Saddam Hussein, you know, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so we went on the hike and that was good. But other than, so let me talk about the negatives. My friend did not like the attitude of people in Seattle. A lot of them are shitbirds. He did not really like the traffic. I did not lie about the traffic, but he definitely didn't like it. And I think it was kind of overwhelming for him. But he did enjoy the hike. And I also say this too. We went to this restaurant. There's a restaurant off of 85th Street in Greenwood, Seattle. I think it's called the Mountain Inn. The Mountain Inn. It's near like, I want to say, yeah, it's basically on 85th Street in Greenwood. I think it's called the Little Mountain Inn or the Mountain Inn. Anyways, it's basically a restaurant that's built out of a person's home. It's been there for at least 10 years. And I gotta say, I really love this restaurant. They do a great job. I think they source their food locally as much as they can. And the fact is, they're pretty cool people. And we both enjoyed our meal, and it was a good example of how you just can't focus on the negative bullshit. But I'll tell you this much, something like that restaurant is not something, how can I phrase this? If we keep going down the road of tyranny, which we have been going down this road for a long ass time, but it's a rocky road and has ups and downs, but the road only ends in one place, and that's basically a prison state. If we keep going down that road, places like this restaurant are going to cease to exist. And in all the Marxist exaltation, actual people who care about liberty and dignity are going to become extinct. Anyways, next topic, Epstein's prison cell cameras failed. Now, I just gotta have you guys think about this for a second, because you need to understand. I keep repeating this and I'll keep repeating it. Given the degree to which we're lied to, given the degree to which we are deceived, given the degree to which pretty much every source of information, to include the library at your public university, is mutilated, is abrogated, is poisoned, is toxified, given that we don't really have clean sources of information, it is hard to know what really happened when we're told that Jeffrey Epstein's cameras did not work when he committed suicide. But what we do know is this. We do know, barring a lot of really fluky Hegelian logic, that things that seem contradictory or seem out of place are at least indicative of a lie. You see, what I'm getting at here is this. I don't have a secret way to tell you how to figure out what's really going on. But what I can tell you is what I do. I collect as many of the quote-unquote facts that these news sources give me in my head. And every once in a while, two or three of them pop up, and the following message shows up in my consciousness. These two or three statements, Dan, together make no sense and might not even be logically true, which means the three statements ended together in just basic sort of predicate logic would only always ever equal false. For example, you can tell me that we went to the moon, okay? If you believe we went to the moon, if you think that we sent people in an aluminum raft at 20,000 miles an hour through the Van Allen belt, and essentially a craft that has a similar metal composition, and because of the humans inside, oil composition of a capacitor, which means something designed to store charge, and the Van Allen belts are basically these gigantic radioactive electrically charged fields. Yeah, I'm sure the capacitor went through that fucking space several times without blowing up. How you discharge or ground that capacitor as it goes through the Van Allen belts, I don't have any fucking clue. But there is no ground in space. Okay? But here's the deal, folks. Let's say you're one of those assholes who totally believes we went to the moon. That's fine. Do you believe we forgot how we went to the moon? I'm telling you, folks, you can believe if we went, you can totally believe it when the crocodile, and you know when I say crocodile, I mean government. You can totally believe it when the crocodile says we went to the moon. And you can totally believe it when the crocodile says we forgot. But if you put those two thoughts together, they don't make any fucking sense. Now, does this tell us what the truth is? No, it does not. It does not. It could be that we went to the moon using technology that is way more advanced than most people realize. It could be there is no way to go to the moon. And the whole thing was basically a Hollywood production. I have no fucking clue. But I do know this. It's weird as fuck to believe we went to the moon and we forgot how we did it. Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide in his prison cell. His prison cell, which had cameras which miraculously failed, okay? Miraculously fucking failed during the time that he killed himself. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. And this is out to you status, you crocodile worshipers, you people that when the government tells you to take your vaccination, you come up with the rationalization that, well, A, they wouldn't lie to us, and B, it's good for us. They will do what's good for us. And C, they know what they're doing. They're infallible. Wake the fuck up. This is the same crocodile, the same government that has little posters all over the fucking place, on every train, on every bus, that says, see something, say something. This is the fucking crocodile that has groped me 50% of my flights since 2001. I am not attractive. Even 20 years ago, I wasn't really that attractive. Why anybody would want to grab my greasy ass junk, I have no fucking clue. But this is the same fucking crocodile that grabs people's junk at the airport. But, you know, its cameras, plural, failed. I don't know what the full truth is, but if you want to know how I grok shit out, it's really quite simple. If I come across statements from the crocodile that make no sense together, that is an indication that I am being lied to. And guess what, folks? In general, if you come across a person that says two or more things that when put together are a contradiction, that's a good reason to believe you're being deceived. It really is. That's a good basis for knowing that you're being lied to, or potentially that the person you're talking to is crazy. And which is better, I'll leave it up to you. You know, whether the government is simply insane and that explains it, or whether the government is really just an evil, lying bunch of corrupt pieces of shit, I'll leave it up to you, folks. You figure out that shit on your own. But what I'm telling you is that there is a means to see through some of this, and it's really quite simple, but you have to practice logic. You have to reason about your world. You have to be willing to put more than one thought in your head at the same time. You see, one of the ways in which Marxism and a lot of Hegelian bullshit works is they try to convince you that truth does not exist. Okay? In fact, you could say that much of the 20th century, the history of 20th century philosophy, that is about convincing people that there is no such thing as truth. And so if you're one of those people, please stop listening, because you're never going to get a fucking clue. And if you're an ordinary, everyday schmuck that believes this shit, you're not going to survive past day zero. Your paradigm is fucked. You will be a victim. I'm sorry, but there's a good chance that I will see your rotting, bloated corpse in the streets after day zero, because you believe some fucking nonsense. There is no way in hell that I will ever believe my government should be trusted with security if it cannot watch a high-profile witness like Jeffrey Epstein safely and successfully until he is processed and goes to trial. Now keep in mind, I'm an anarchist, so I have zero fucking faith in government, zero fucking faith in the crocodile. Period. End of story. None of this surprises me. The fact that it all surprises some of you is also mind-boggling. But none of this surprises me. I'm gonna end this podcast here, because I really didn't intend to do a little Saigon report tonight. But I want to talk again about the hike I went on with my friend in Duval. And I will tell you something. You need to listen to this. I do not know the truth about what's going on with the climate. I don't know if it's anthropogenic global warming. I don't know if it's 100%, you know, a government scheme. I know that Michael Crichton once proposed that the government might use tools to fuck with the weather to convince people there's a crisis. I don't know what the cause of what I'm seeing is, but out in the woods yesterday, it was eerily fucking silent, okay? I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. Even in the wintertime in Western Washington, the forest would be noisy in the middle of the day. You would hear a lot of shit going on. You would hear a lot of shit. And you would see, even in winter, insects. But this isn't winter yet, folks. It's not winter. It's still September. We barely saw any insects. We barely heard any birds at all on our 6-mile walk in Duval. Now, I don't know what's causing this. Oh, another thing too. I've noticed this whole summer, most of the fucking windshields on cars are pretty fucking clean, even when you get out of the city. Now you say, Dan, what does that mean, clean windshields? Okay, when you have a healthy biome with insects in it, and you live in the country, you end up, during the spring and summer, collecting dead insect carcasses on the front of your car and the windshield. I haven't seen much of that this summer. And when I think about it, last summer I didn't see much either. So here's the deal, folks, and this is how I'm going to end this podcast, because some of you have decided that you do know the truth. That, you know, oh, it's a solar minimum, Dan. It's a global cooling. Ignore the methane farts in the Arctic Circle. Ignore the fact that Alaska caught fire this summer. Ignore the fact that salmon returning to their streams had heart attacks because many of these streams in Alaska were 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah. They died trying to go breed. So anyways, folks, you can ignore all this shit you want to, but the one thing you have to admit to, or at least accept, is something is going on. And it is not normal. And it is not in our best interest. Whether we're doing it, whether truly we are the stupid monsters who are creating our own destruction, or whether it's the government or a combination of the two, something is wrong with the ecosystem in the Puget Sound. I won't speak to where you live. If you think it's great there, if you get all the insects you want, fine. I live here. And I see an ecosystem in collapse. I don't know the truth, folks, but I can take two or more facts, put them down a piece of paper, and ask myself the following question. Do all of these facts make sense together? And if they do not, you know at least one thing with certainty, in my fucking opinion. You are being lied to.